have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Name is Sarvish Rav Deaconess, and I'd like to serve you as priest dying very soon. It's now time to start finding a seat for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please? Back to one, everyone. My name is Sonny Ishrab Yop Hawkins, and I'll lecture forever as peace starting very soon. It's a privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Ishrab now within the sanctuary. I'd like to welcome to our first speaker, Zephania Hawkins.
You may be seated. The title of my speech is Evil Thinking. We need to be prepared for evil thoughts. The peaceful solution tells us to set our minds in advance so that when an evil thought comes, we can get it out of our minds right away and not act on it. When we have an evil thought like, I can leave and go live in the world and stay righteous like the house of Yahweh, that isn't true. When you leave the house of Yahweh, which is the best place on earth, you leave Yahweh. The evil you're thinking today, get it out before sunset. Don't dwell on evil thoughts. Please turn to Ephesians 4 and verse 26, found on page 918. It says, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. For my first quotes, the fifth book of Israel, chapter 12, verse 51, it says, Hebrews 2 and verse 1, therefore, we must pay careful attention to the things we have heard. Pay attention to them, brethren. Keep them in your minds and don't forget. Set your minds ahead of time to resist evil thinking and evil condemnations and everything else that has to do with sin. Yahweh tells us to repent of our sins so that we can be in the kingdom. Please turn to Acts 3:19, on page 842. It says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and time to refreshing will come from the presence of Yahweh. Yahweh commands us to do righteousness, and not the God's way, because they are evil. Remember, Genesis 3 and verse 5, Satan wants us to be like the gods. But you can't eat of the tree of righteousness and evil, and also eat of the tree of life. You can't serve the gods and also serve Yahweh. So we must not follow the gods or we will die with them in the lake of fire. Please turn to Revelation 21 verse 8 from page 985. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and worshippers of gods, Elohim, will have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Pastors warned us over and over that he is the silver trumpet and he is trumpeting instructions on how to overcome evil thoughts so that we will not be like the gods. And my last quote is in the fourth book of Israel, chapter 17, verse 109-110, the servants of Yahweh 10. Verse 15, and whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Whoever didn't know come wasn't accepted, as Yahweh said. He didn't do righteousness, so he was not accepted by Yahweh. That's exactly the same thing he told Cain. You get a condensed verse of everything right in this chapter. That's the reason you have the rest of the prophecies plus revelation in your mind to understand what Yahweh told Cain and what he taught Cain in Genesis 4 and verse 7. Go back there. If you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? If you practice this righteousness that Yahweh himself created, then you will be accepted by Yahweh. You won't be accepted. He says you're going to be cast into hellfire if you don't practice and overcome these things that Satan puts in your mind. We can overcome these things, brethren. We can practice righteousness. Set our minds in advance and get rid of evil thoughts. And Yahweh will accept us if we do so. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I'd like to turn it over to the next speaker.
I'll turn the services over to Deacon Shlomo.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Today I want to talk about Yahweh's feast, our shadow from things to come. That's my title. Yahweh's feast, our shadow from things to come. And we know that the The feasts are right around the corner, okay? And you know, we have to get into that state of mind so that we will get these rewards that come from keeping Yahweh's feast. Let's turn over to Leviticus. Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23, just so that we can get these things in mind here. Verse 24, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh moon, on the first of the moon, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it, but you shall offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. Okay, this is speaking of the Feast of Trumpets. Now, we know that that will be the first feast that's coming up very shortly now. If we go down to verse 27, it says, also, the 10th of the 7th moon is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation to you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. You shall do no work at all on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you in front of Yahweh, your Heavenly Father. Any person who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Any person who does any work on that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. You shall do no manner of work at all. It shall be a statute forever, throughout your generations, in all your dwellings, wherever you may live. It is to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. On the 9th of the moon at evening, at the setting of the sun, through the 10th of the moon at evening, at the setting of the sun, from evening until evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. And then we move on to the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 34 says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of this 7th moon is a Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days unto Yahweh. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no regular work on it. Okay, and then moving on, we see how we are to celebrate this feast. Now, coming to Yahweh's house brings protection. Coming to Yahweh's house and keeping his feast brings protection, and it also gives us that mark. It gives us the mark of Yahweh. Remember, there's two marks that we have. It's either the mark of the beast, which is keeping the holidays, worshiping gods on Sunday. You know, that's the mark of the beast, and that's the mark that we don't want. And if we have it, we won't make it in Yahweh's kingdom. But then we also have the mark of Yahweh, and that's when we keep Yahweh's feast and keep the Sabbath, and that's the mark that we want to have. If you turn over to Psalms 91, it says, verse 1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There we see the shadow. And then throughout Psalms 91, the psalm shows us what we will receive, what Yahweh offers us, this protection from the things that are coming. I have, from the third book of Israel, I'll be reading quite a bit out of this chapter today. Third book of Israel, chapter 8, if you want to read it on your own time. This is talking about the feast here. I'll start out in verse 25. It says, Colossians 2:16. Let no man condemn you for doing these things, eating and drinking in the observance of a feast day. Do not let them condemn you or deter you from doing this. The feasts have a big part to play, a super part to play, with you being here. And this protection that Yahweh intends to put upon everyone who is honest and actually striving to keep the laws of Yahweh, or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Do you know, brethren, that we are the only ones on the face of the earth who are keeping these laws that are mentioned here? And you also see these groups out in the world today, and their days are super close to the days that we keep, but they're still not keeping the feast correctly as we do. Praise Yahweh for training and showing us that. Why would this little group right here be the only ones mentioned right here, and who are told, don't let anyone condemn you for this? The Jews are not keeping the feast days. They don't keep the new moons in the land of Israel. Moving on, verse 32, it says, verse 18, let no man deprive you of your reward. There is a great reward of protection for one, but an inheritance, on the other hand, is offered with keeping these days here. Don't let anyone deprive you of this. This sign that he's talking about, if you turn over to Exodus 31, go ahead and turn over to Exodus 31. And we're looking at verse 13. It says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for they are a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you and makes you holy. This is the sign, or the mark. This is the mark of Yahweh that we want. It says, if you're familiar with this, and you can quote it by heart any time, Exodus 31:13. Speak to the children of Israel, that is, those who lift up holy hands to Yahweh. Remember that word Yisrael means. Saying, surely my Sabbaths, that is, all of the Sabbaths, the feast days are Sabbaths. Tabernacles is coming up. It's a very important feast, as you will see in prophecy. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for they are a sign. Remember this word sign. It's shown throughout the Holy Scriptures, but under different words. Between me and you throughout your generations, or throughout all the generations, including the last generation that we are in right now. This is the last generation that Yahweh said will not pass away until you see all these things fulfilled. Remember what we read in Colossians about these being a shadow for you. They are a shadow of protection, actually, if you do the whole thing. We will see that too in just a little bit. That's if you're doing it properly, and that's why we have to start planning in advance. And we heard a lot of great sermons last week about that, planning to keep this feast in advance. Yahweh has put us in a protected place. By doing what he says, we will be protected in order to be a witness to what is going to take place in these last days. Verse 1:10, so surely my Sabbaths you will keep, for they are a sign or a mark between me and you throughout your generations, between us, you, me, and Yahweh, that you may know that I am Yahweh who sanctifies you. If we saw other people obeying these laws, keeping Yahweh's feast in the place that Yahweh chooses, they would be Yahweh's people. But there is no other people on the face of the earth that I know of who are willing to keep this law. This does not include the ones who have made half-hearted efforts. They go to the places they choose, not to the place Yahweh chooses. They set themselves up not as keeping the full feast, but making a half-hearted effort at it. I remember one person handing me some material, and the highlight of their feast was that they were going to some town here in Texas and look for dinosaur tracks. This is the world the way is. This is the way the world is. Okay, so You know, we have to start getting this in mind. The ones that keep it half-heartedly will not get the full reward that Yahweh is offering us. They won't get the reward at all. That is why we have to start getting ready. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Shaul was being persecuted, him and his followers, for keeping the feast. And that's why he kept saying that, don't let anyone condemn you. Always keep the feast. 1 Corinthians 5:8 says, therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. You notice there, he says, not with old leaven. So the sins that we commit on a weekly basis, we have to start purging that out of us, getting rid of those things and actually start putting on Yahweh's character. Get rid of these old sins, these old grudges, and keep the feast truly, with sincerity and truth. Also turn over to Hebrews for my closing scripture. Hebrews 10. Let's look at verse 24 and 25. It says, and let us consider one another, how we may urge one another on towards love and righteous works, not forsaking the gathering of ourselves together. Remember, this is what the feasts are. It's a gathering. We're meeting with Yahweh, and He's instructing us. As the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So start building one another up. We're getting real close to the end. We see the prophecies being fulfilled. So start building one another up, because we're all striving to make it there. We're all striving. May God bless your understanding, and if everyone will please stand, I'd like to turn it over to the great Quan Benjamin Krause Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Okay, be turning over to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I want you to keep something in mind, that Yahweh has a plan, okay? That none of this is by accident. None of this is willy-nilly. Everything's been planned from the beginning. And Yahweh has a plan to make all of us that are here today and watching abroad and that haven't come yet into His image, okay, or into His character. That's what that word image means. Let's look at Genesis 1:26, where it says, then Yahweh said, I will make man in my image. By the way, can you put up the first slide? I will make man in my image according to my likeness. They will have rulership or authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Okay, now, Yahweh also set up a house to do this, to make us into His image. Okay, so we need to be submitting to everything that we're learning at the house of Yahweh, okay, because that's what it's all about. Let's, can we have the first slide? Okay, so there we have Genesis 1:26, and I told you that Yahweh's using someone to do this, and I'm going to show you who it is. Can I have my next slide? This is the one that's making man into the image of Yahweh, into His character. Okay, there he is. Okay, now I want you to also turn to Chagia chapter 2. If you're like me, I don't know what page it's on. Should have wrote it down. But it's on page 716. Actually, 715. Chagia 2, verse 9. You can put up the next slide, by the way. It says, the glory of this latter house will be greater than the glory of the former, says Yahweh of hosts. And in this house, I will give peace, says Yahweh of hosts. Okay, now that word ladder there in that scripture, by the way, do you know that the word ladder means western? Look it up in Strong's. Latter means Western, the Western house, the Western lamp, the seventh Moloch on the seven-lamp lampstand, Pastor Israel Abel Hawkins, and all of his workers here. Now, notice, I will give peace 8/28. Now, who was born on 8/28, which, by the way, is in three more days, right? That's right. The great Kohan, Israel Abel Hawkins, I will give peace at Abel, 1074. That's where the peace, the peaceful solution has been given. All right, now can I have my next slide? Y'all remember the anniversary? The anniversary, 1074. Okay, the anniversary of what? 7 years ago this day, the first vision that Pastor saw in the sky of the donkey. Remember that donkey vision? I want to show you something because a couple years ago, I remember mentioning this number 365 and how the number 365 is important because it's a rotation of 1 year, right? So let's go to the next slide. From the time Pastor had that vision to today was exactly 365 weeks. 365 weeks. Okay, now let's go to, and remember, number 7 years, number 7 is 828 in Gematria. And number 7 at Abel, whenever you get 828 in the English or Sumerian Gematria in the middle, if you just add at Abel, you're always going to get 1074. Isn't that miraculous? Okay, so turn to the next slide, and let's look at what this 365. Now notice, today is Isaac 13, 2018, and you see the number 365 there? Again. Well, what's he pointing to? Well, the word 365 in Strong's means to renew. It means completing a process, going up to a higher stage or level of holiness or sanctification. Here, believers are reminded of Yahweh's continuous offer to bring new strides in their bringing them to holiness. And it means raising the meaning up to new levels of spiritual comprehension and reality. Okay, so Yahweh's bringing us to a new level. Yahweh's going to show us more about what this donkey cloud vision meant. Let's go to the next slide and let's look at a quote from the 11th book of Israel, chapter 22, verse 8, where Pastor says, "The donkey in the cloud." Now this shows us, brethren, that Yahweh's well aware of his work and what it's doing and the unity that we're developing here. You know, when that donkey's standing there staring at those olive branches, you can tell from the intense look when I saw that in that cloud, you know, I said, what is that donkey looking at? Because he had his ears perked, and you could tell he was really looking at something. Okay, he was really staring at those olive branches. Can we have the next slide? I'm staring at branches. Okay, well, I want to focus today on this beautiful peaceful solution character education program. And notice the two branches there on the side of the logo, which represent the two witnesses. Okay, the two witnesses, the two olive branches. Okay, keep that in your mind. Go to the next slide, because as YPN always tells you, pay close attention. What you're about to hear is full, or what to see is fulfilling Bible prophecy, right? Pay close attention, 1074. Focus on teachings, 1074. Not just right here and now while we're sitting here in the room, but focus on the teachings, because we've got to get our mind on this peaceful solution right now. And today is the day of decision, and I'll show you in a minute. Let's go to the next slide. This week there was a town hall meeting in Abilene, and the name of the gathering there was called Securing Our Schools. Okay, if you notice the gematria of Securing Our Schools, it's 1075. That's really close to 1074, isn't it? Well, that's not an accident, because who on the face of this earth has the solution for securing our schools? And who's been presenting it all these years? That's right, Pastor Israel Hawkins in the house of Yahweh. We have the only solution, okay? They have no answers. They're groping in the dark. They have no answers. That's why they had to have a town hall. Well, they got the answer. Let's go to the next slide. Because 1075, if you'll notice, it means to trace. It's the word genealogio, and it means to trace ancestry, and it's from 1074. Notice that. And if you, it means family or generation. Now, I want you to, when you think of 1074, I want you to think of people with similar character traits. People with similar character traits, okay? People that have the gene of Abraham, okay? Now, we might have inherited that gene from Abraham, but we got to develop it too, you know? It's not just like it's an automatic thing, right, House of Yahweh? So the morality family, here you are, right? Are we not teaching morality in this world? We're that family, that generation, that righteous generation, not the generation of the viper, the serpent sitting on seven hills. And we all have similar character, and we're called to build in moral excellence. Those are all 1074 in Gematria. But let's look at the second number there, that middle number, in securing our schools. Go to the next slide. 1446. Let's look at the next slide. Let's see what that means. It means, it's from 1446 means wall, and it's from 1443, and it means to build and to repair. It's what's used in Isaiah 58:12, where it says, you will be called the repairers of the breach. That's you, House of Yahweh. We're going to restore the old waste places. We're the ones that have the answers. We're the only ones. You know, Yahweh gave us that answer. It's in the peaceful solution. The peaceful solution is the only solution for peace. Can I have my next slide? Pastor's been showing for years, peace through education is the answer. It's the power. Now, all these are 1074 I'm reading off. The power for peace. Remember, the laws of Yahweh are the power of Yahweh. The gift of an education and character. You remember the old pamphlet we had that said the greatest gift you can give a child is a gift of an education and character? 1074. These laws teach peace. These laws of Yahweh teach peace. 1074. Power for changing. Morals are power. The laws change a heart, and heart converting or converting heart is 1074 in Gematria. What else does it teach in the peaceful solution? Let's go to the next slide. It teaches anger management. Anger management, 828. Really? Well, that's the man that teaches the world anger management. Remember, the nations are angry, but we have a solution to that anger. Pastor has the solution, and we're all working together with him, are we not? We're not tethered to the choices branch House of Yahweh? And anger management that's taught at Abel, 1074. You can't go wrong there, right? Aren't you glad you're tagging along with him? You know, because resolve a conflict, this is the only way to resolve a conflict. Tagging with 1074 there. Now, who is this, you know, this man that Yahweh's working with here? I want to show you because he is a representation of Yahshua on this earth right now. And of Yahweh on this earth as we speak. I'm sorry, but I can't see no flaws in that man. Okay? I can't see any. I can't see any personally. I've never seen any personally. Okay? Not that I'm looking for him, but I've never heard that man talk about anything except the laws of Yahweh, the oracles of Yahweh. That is it. And when I get off track, he quickly guides me back to that. Okay, if my thoughts start drifting on to somewhere else, he quickly, get back over here, get your mind off that. I think we've gone through that, right? So let's look at the next slide so we can see who this man is. Remember, Hebrews 1:3 says, who, being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh and the representation of Yahweh's plan by upholding all things, and we can be the same. By upholding the laws of Yahweh, by keeping the peaceful solution. We can be a representation. Do you want to be a 1074? There you go. Representation, 1074. He brings forth peace. See him at his desk there? What's he doing? He's proofing, reading, writing the peaceful solution, okay? He's totally obedient. Totally obedient. 1074. He has the peaceful character. 1074. And he has a perfect character. A perfect character. The perfect image of Yahweh's character is seen in that man right there. Okay? He is all about the work of Yahweh. And he's all about kindness and compassion, consideration for his brothers, self-control. Okay, let's go to the next slide. In this man's mind, and in our mind, it needs to matter. All lives need to matter. You see that? All lives matter. Well, lives matter to 1074. And if you're a 1074, if you're of that similar character trait, we need to care about our fellow man too. We need to be doing what we can do to bring forth this peaceful solution like he's doing. Notice, love for brother, 1074, and sister. Go to the next slide. Look, he's in obedience as Messiah. Okay, he's in the obedience of the Messiah. And he has Yahshua's character, 1074. Okay, you know, these gematrias are not an accident. Okay, I'm sorry. I've never seen my license tag come up one time in all the gematria I've ever done. Not one time. Not even one time. I'm not even wanting it to, but it never has. But this man comes up in everything in the plan of Yahweh. Everything. And you know what? And that's great because that's you too, because you're tagging along with this man. Okay? Let's go to the next slide. Now, this great witness presented a peace plan. He presented a peace plan, 1074. Remember on 8/28, on his birth date? In 2000, 8/28/00 at the United Nations, showing a light to the nations, bringing them the peace plan, the peaceful solution? Look at the next slide. Look at the work of Israel Hawkins taking the peaceful solution to the world. This is some of the pictures, man. We could go for days showing pictures, but also showing the newsletters, you know, the prophetic words. Let's go to the next slide. Let's look at the Peaceful Solution website. This is really interesting. It has a page there. It says, how it all began. From a grassroots group of parents and the vision of one man who wanted a better world for their children to a program that's used worldwide to bring peace through character education. Notice, just drop the zero off that middle number on that second gematria and you'll get 1074, right? Just drop the zero. You think that's an accident? No, it's not. And that's word for word in that mission statement or how it all began. The beginning of the peaceful solution, 1074. Go to the next slide. On that same website, the history of the peaceful solution shows that the president, Israel Hawkins, is what he's called. Well, notice, peaceful president, 1074. And it says the peaceful solution began in 1994. Notice, wrote peaceful solution, 1994. Whoa, what a coincidence, right? Go to the next slide. Well, why did they do this? Well, the parents, you know, there was 50 other teachers that are still here today, by the way. Some of them. Okay. They saw a moral decline. 666. Right? And they set out on a mission to stop the decline. Notice, his mission to stop the decline, 1074. Wow, what a coincidence. Let's go to the next slide. And notice, they wanted to teach positive character development to this rapidly deteriorating society. Notice, restoring of moral principles, 1074. Really? I bet you the Pope's tag number on that Fiat 500 wasn't on there. Because remember, 500 meant anti or against the Messiah. Look at the next slide. In that same website page, it talks about his persistent determination to bring a peaceful solution to the world's problems has led to the publication of the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. Notice, he is determined, 8/28. He's determined at Able, 1074. Perseverance, 1074. Persistent one, 1074. We must be this way, House of Yahweh. Now let's look at the next slide, because we're going to learn the character word of the day. You see it? Notice 825. Is today 825? So it's the character word of the day, decisive. And we need to take decisive action at Abel, 1074. And we need to do what Pastor's calling a character overhaul. Okay, 1074, next slide. So we need to begin by looking in this traits mirror. Remember the character trait mirror on page, I don't remember the page, 20 or 21 in the Building Moral Excellence, where there's 21 positive character traits? We need to be focused on character, 1074. The inward character, 1074. We need to be looking in this mirror of the peaceful solution. Go to the next slide. Did you know that it's the 21st on the list of 21 traits? Decisive is 21st. 21st, 1074. We need to be decisive, House of Yahweh, able to come to a decision, make up our mind, and remain firm on not sinning. To sin never again. To practice the peaceful solution in every situation. Let's go to the next slide, please. We need to decide to be like Yahweh. 1074. Decisive obedience. 828. Decisively obeys. 1074. We need to decide to allow the one sent to make us into Yahweh's image by yielding to all of His instructions. Go to the next slide. Let's look at plan A. There you go. Plan A. Stop, think, weigh out your options, and proceed with the right choice. That should be plan A every time. You'll be a 1074 if you do this. Bringing your mind in subjection. Remember, bringing every thought into subjection, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Remember? Bringing your thoughts in line with the teachings of the House of Yahweh and the peaceful solution. Let's get this out of our mind right. Let's get these out of our life right here. These carnalities, you see that? Carnalities, anything that's opposed to Yahweh's law. Anything that opposes, see that? Anything opposing that's against Yahweh's laws, we need to get it out of us. And we need to do it quickly. We need to decide. Next slide. Here's how we do it. We chew on the PSCEP all day long. Chew on this. Chew on the peaceful solution. Hold on like a bulldog and don't let go. Next slide. This is what we need to be doing. Promoting character out on the workforce, you know, out on the work teams and everything. Promoting it right here amongst one another and outside if you're out there. Be an instructor, 1074. Be an instructor of the PSCEP, 1074. Next slide. The people that are doing this are pursuing peace, like they were told, instead of pursuing riches. They're pursuing peace. And they have peaceful futures ahead of them. Now, for my next final two slides, next slide, please. Pastor wrote a news release about a 12-month offer to bring peace to all nations with a solid guarantee to bring peace. Notice, the only answer, 1074. Fix any problems, 1074. Okay? Next slide. Now, remember, the donkey was staring at the branches. These persistent, determined, decisive branches that have stuck with the peaceful solution and have not let go. We need to be the same way. Notice, in Revelation 6:9, it talks about the two witnesses held fast. The two who held fast, 1074. And for my final slide, remember the white robe of humility, because in a few verses down it says, and a white robe was given to both of them. And it says to rest until their fellow servants should be killed. I'm sure Con Yehuda will tell us more about that one day. Should be completed. Notice, it's a robe that Pastor said has to be without stain. Without stain, 1074. And once we do this, if we do what I'm talking about right now, our obedience will be complete. Okay? Once our obedience is complete, these nations are going to be turned over to who, House of Yahweh? That's right, 1074. Stick with the 1074. And at this time, if you'd all please stand. It's my great honor and opportunity to turn it over to the great Kohan Yehuda Hawkins.
Shalom. Please be seated. Please be seated. Take out your books of Yahweh and turn to Genesis 3:14. That's on page 3 if you need a page number in your book of Yahweh. We're going to study this today somewhat in some of the language that used to be used in Bible called the King James language. This type of language was used around the 1600s in the King James Version, as well as the Douay Version and the Catholic Version of 1588. Now, I did use the Holy Name King James Version because it does have the name Yahweh in use. The scripture reads, "And Father Yahweh said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of my life." Sounds like a real sidewinder, doesn't it? Okay, let's see what it really says. The words "bitterly cursed" that are written in Genesis 3:14 are translated from the Hebrew word "arur." This word is listed on page 48 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means to bring on a curse. Like, for instance, you look at a candle and you want to see if that flame is hot, and you burn your finger, you just brought on a curse. And who did you bring it on? Yourself. The word "above" that is written twice in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "ma," a form of the Hebrew word "man." This word is listed on page 498 of the Analytical Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Benjamin Davison, which shows this word means "own." The word "cattle" that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "bahama," from which we get the famous word "behemoth." A little too Greek for me, though. This word is listed on page 100 of volume 2 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Klanter. So this word means "from a human being and unto beasts," that is, humans and beasts alike. In other words, all life, or all. The word "beast" that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "hayit." This word is listed on page 438 of a Hebrew and Chaldee lexicon to the Old Testament by Julius Peirce, which shows this word means living things. The word "field" that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "shaddah." This word is listed on page 683 of an Hebrew and English lexicon without points by John Parkers, which shows this word means ground. The word "upon" that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "ol." This word is listed on page 758 of a Hebrew and English lexicon of the Old Testament by Brown, Driver, and Briggs, which shows this word means to remove. The word "belly" that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "gahun." This word is listed on page 190 of Gesenius Hebrew and Chaldee Lexicon by Edward Robinson, which shows this means to cause a mother to bring forth. The word "shalt thou eat" that are written in Genesis 3:14 are translated from the Hebrew word "takal." This word is listed on page 246 of volume 3 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Clients, which shows this word means to be destroyed so as to remove from the world. The word "life" that is written in Genesis 3:14 is translated from the Hebrew word "hayik." This word is listed on page 204 of volume 1 of the Dictionary of Classical Hebrew by David Clients, which shows this means to live, to remain alive. So this is how the King James should have been written. "And Father Yahweh said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou hast brought a curse on all," everything, "both man and beast, and on all that creepeth on the ground. Taken away will be thine ability to bring forth life from the dust of the ground, and thine life eternal shall be removed for what thou hast done." Now let's look at it in English. Today's English. The Book of Yahweh, 11th edition English. "So Yahweh said to the serpent, Because you have done this, you have brought a curse on all," everything, "both man and beast, and on all the flesh of the ground. Your ability to bring forth life from the dust will be taken away, and your eternal life will be taken away because of what you have done." You heard 1074. You hear other numbers about things and the Strongs and things like that. What you must understand is this. Every one of us who is here, you had better be here by choice and not because somebody thinks you need to be here. This coming Feast of Tabernacles will be the 39th year I have attended feasts in the house of Yahweh. What I'm trying to say is, though, nobody made me come here or any part of my household. They chose to be here. I chose to be here. Even Pastor chose to be here. So don't do it because someone said it's a good thing to do. Do it because you know this is the right thing for you to do. Because the priesthood that you're seeking to be a part of is known in the prophets by the Hebrew word Zadok, which means righteousness. The Zadokite priesthood is what Yahweh wants you to be, or servants of. And that means righteousness. And righteousness means keeping all the laws, including all the things the laws tell you to do. If you don't, this is what is some of the things that are going to come upon you and anyone that decides, Lucifer, Hillel, Satan, Lucy, whatever that is, whatever she wants you to do, Yaakov said you're going to do if you choose to do that. But these type of curses, Yahweh said, don't blame anyone else. Don't blame your neighbor. Don't blame your mother, your father, your sister, your wife, your husband, your children. It said, these things came upon you because you brought them on yourself, just as Satan brought these things upon herself. It's cause and effect. You stick your finger in the fire. You grab a hot light bulb, you got a burned hand. You got a curse. But guess who caused it? You didn't have to grab that hot light bulb. You didn't have to stick your finger in that light. But you brought it on yourself. And Yahweh wants Satan to know she brought it on herself. And if you want further study on it, these two scriptures apply. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 20, and Yechezkel chapter 28, verses 3 through 10. They are all tied in by the Atzbach codes. All of this is talking about the final end of those who are Satan's, our adversaries against Yahweh, and those whom he has chosen to be part of his house. May Yahweh bless your understanding. And I now turn these things over to the great Kohen Ilya Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may be seated. But going into this system that we see, this other tree, and what's taking place with this other tree, as the great Kohen spoke about earlier today, how they've created a system, and of course this the system looks desirable. It looks like something that would be fun to do. But of course this system is created on you being uneducated and making decisions that's beneficial to the system. And one way that it shows these things being done, of course, is through medication that is being offered. Of course, now whenever people commit sin, and this can be passed down through generations, you could be paying for the sins of your forefathers. And you get locked into these things. Well, it shows medication such as insulin and, of course, the EpiPen that we've talked about before, where people, imagine if your insulin cost you $1,300 a month. What do you do if you make that much money? What do you do? Well, they show how some people are cutting their dosages down where they're not taking the full dosage. Some people just quit taking it, but in the end, they die. Well, as a pharmaceutical company who's pushing the product, what every pharmaceutical company is doing, they push the price as high as they can get it because they have a board to answer to, they have stockholders to answer to, and they invest for profits, not for health, but for profits. Well, they push that as high as they can get it until someone screams, and then they do what they're doing with the EpiPen right now. If you remember, the EpiPen was $100 just a few years ago. Then they increased it to $600, and now the company is standing before Congress and saying, why would you come down on us? We've cut the price in half to $300. Well, no, they upped it a couple hundred percent is what they've done. Well, and the one lady calls it pharmaceutical greed, and the lady that calls it that is the lady that her son died because he could not afford his insulin, and he was reducing his intakes. But, of course, this system, it builds on sickness. It builds on sin. They won't pay any money for education of character, but they sure make a lot of money off your decisions that are made through lack of education concerning positive character. And that's what that tree does, the other tree. And then looking over to Syria, the United States, of course, this is a report from the UN showing the United States has spent $400 billion, specifically $388 billion, but more of $400 billion to wage war and to destroy Syria. $400 billion. Think about what that could have been done in education. What could that have been done in educating people toward health on how to do the right thing? But no, no investment there. This is this peace through war attitude that they think they're going to bring it. And just realize, after $400 billion, they still didn't even remove the leader they wanted to remove. He's still there. And then looking at Turkey. Turkey, I think, is more than anyone else showing how they plan on to escape the sanctions, and they're speaking very openly about it. Now remember, Turkey's supposed to be a NATO ally and an American ally, but relationships have been deteriorating for a little while, for a few years anyway, with Turkey. Turkey now is pushing to drop the U.S. dollar completely. They want all trade done outside of the U.S. dollar, and they're following up with what Iran is trying to do because that helps you escape sanctions. Sanctions only affect you if you're dealing in the dollar. If you deal in the ruble, Russia's not looking at those sanctions. You deal in the yuan, the Chinese yuan, they're not looking at those sanctions. So Turkey's trying to dump the dollar, and they're trying to move into the Russian missile defense system. The United States has threatened to sanction them even more over that. Well, and you'll notice word was being put out that these problems are due to Turkey holding a Christian pastor as a prisoner for supposed causing a coup. But it shows when you look into it, it's much more than that. It has to do with a relationship. Remember, just a few months ago, we brought out how Turkey said they would lead the Muslim nations. They were now the leading Muslim nation to support Muslim rights. From that point on, Turkey has went straight downhill. And then the pedophilia that has come up in the Catholic Church once again, not come up, but been exposed once again, the man of sin being revealed as pastors been doing this for years, exposing what they do, that divine serpent. Well, we see where there are actually thousands of children in Pennsylvania. Now, that's just Pennsylvania, and it's coming out, it's taking place more and more and more. But they showed how these priests are literally training these children, very patient and training perversion. And when they get them desensitized to where they can do inappropriate things with them, then they give them a golden cross to wear on their neck. And they're marking them with that mark, that crucifix. And when the other priests see that, they know that that child is very easily susceptible. There won't be a problem. He's been trained to do what he's told. It's always interesting that the cardinals wear a golden cross around their neck. They've been trained well, I'm sure. But when you watch it, notice the one lady, she is the head sister in Ireland. Now, to fix these problems, this is the stupidity of this world. The Pope is flying to Ireland today so he can kneel in front of a candle that they lit in 2011 for abused children, and he will pray in front of that candle. That's really going to fix the problem. There is going to be a burning for what they're doing, and it's going to be a lot worse than that candle. And praying at that time will not save them. But even though they've committed all these atrocities, and you'll see one person speak out that was treated inappropriately by Catholic priests, and he says that the people are enraged, they're sick, they're disgusted. The Pope's not on their side. He's not standing for them. And of course, he hasn't been, and he's not. The Vatican doesn't stand for them. The Vatican is destroying them. And I want you to see, remember it says after all of these things, they still will not repent of their sins. After it shows what the Vatican has done, the Vatican this last week, or 2 weeks ago, put out a video concerning the pedophilia of children. Watch this video closely and watch what they do. Listen, write down, if you hear an apology for what they did, write it down. If you hear them acknowledge what they did was wrong, write it down. If you hear them say, well, everybody else is doing it too, well, you already knew that. That's what they're going to say. We're not the sickest ones. We're just as sick as the rest. And that's true. They are just as sick as the rest, but they're the one leading the sickness. They're the cause of the sickness. At this time, if we could please go ahead and play the news. Well, I hope everyone noticed in all of these things they do, they still refuse to repent of their sins. And at this time, I would like to introduce the only way to life, the greatest teacher in the world, the great Kahan Yisrael, Abel Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. Well, all yours, Yahweh. Sure, sure. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The things are looking better every day in the world, and certainly better here with, as someone said, they called you the house of Yahweh, the distinguished people, the very distinguished group. And that does fit you somewhat. This was just handed to me. Now, we'll have this in a few days for you to show on the news. But this was over the last 7 days, just 7 days now, our planet has been violently shaken by 144 major earthquakes. 144. They said, let's see, 50 of those took place on Sunday alone. That should be maybe telling them something. Looks like it would. The earthquakes is prophesied, of course, to increase in this time period. This time period when we're fixing to go into the last 3.5 years. Now, we only have 2 weeks, 2 Sabbaths left. But on the first of Yaakov now, which is only 2 weeks away, the first of Yaakov takes place on the third day of the week, is the Yahweh's Feast of Trumpets. And then the 10th, you need to pay attention to your calendar. On the 10th is the Day of Atonement. You really need to really get your sins out, and of course your attitudes to commit sin. You really need to get rid of it before that day. You may not make it if you don't. If you look at the top of that page, Yaakov, you see those green bowls. Well, they're green to me anyway. Where are they? Here they are. You need this one. This is your soup bowl. It's unbreakable. See, and toss it around. Hit it with something else. It's unbreakable. See? This is your plate. Now, I actually cried when I heard that someone came down there and they had a little bowl like this to eat at the peaceful scene. You know, you're not going to get much food in that. And they went away hungry, from what I understand. Now, that's a no-no, and I hope it wasn't children. Get those bowls before the feast and get ready. We're going to have a delicious meal at that peaceful scene. We have and it's going to be free. It costs money, but it's going to be free. We have great meals at the cafeteria and Abel's Kitchen too, all throughout the feast. Really great meals. Come prepared to eat and feast on physical food, but come prepared to get the spiritual food better. I want to get you lined up today for this feast, because this is going to be the best feast ever. That's right. Praise Yahweh. Day of Atonement. I got that. I think I got everything there, the bowls and so forth. The House of Yahweh just put out the articles. Now, we put this on the news as well as on Facebook and other places, but Israel Hawkins says, teaching do not bully in itself will not stop bullying and offers a better solution. As has already been brought out, we have the only solution to world peace and to bullying. It looks almost stupid to me that a teacher would think they could teach a person not to bully. Now, don't you bully anymore. You know, that's like passing a law, don't run a stop sign. You know, it's as stupid as passing a law saying, don't run this stop sign. You can't run this stop sign. Put a sign underneath the stop sign, and they'll go right through. You've got to have a background. You've got to lay a background. Your scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he'll obey that way of life. You've got to have a background for this person. Now, either you get it as a child or Yahweh calls you to his house and he starts you all over again. He tells you, he calls you to praise Yahweh. I think that you deserve it. He calls you to his house. He said, forget what you've learned. I say, you know, it's 10 times harder to relearn than it is to learn to begin with. But we've got to relearn when we come here. He calls you to his house. He says, forget what you've done in the past. You can't do that anymore. You can't do what is pleasing in your own sight. Go to the priest and they'll teach you how to stop bullying. They'll teach you how to train your children not to bully. They'll teach you war no more. That's the background that you'll get. This is the foundation that was laid by Yeshua with his disciples, and he himself being the chief cornerstone. You saw what that man did to the bullies? He turned the other cheek. Now, I know that's hard to believe that that would have an impact on someone, but it does. When we've had it a few times. I remember I was watching that news this morning and I was remembering when Shaul and I think it was Anaya, Kohan Anaya Bowler Hawkins. We were teaching the peaceful solution there in front of the Wailing Wall, and then we went from there across the Mount of Olives, the graveyard, went up above that, and because I wanted to teach it to those people right there in East Jerusalem, a newspaper reporter took the Peaceful Solution brochure and went ahead of us, and they started a riot. And I didn't even know, we didn't know what was taking place. We just knew that the people were all upset, and they were running to get their bullies. And the crew there in Israel that we were using, they wanted us to get out of there. We were already out of the car at that time and looking over this cliff that looks down on the Mount of Olive graves. And above from there to those graves is several feet. And it kept going through through my mind, if I could get over this emotional crap. It kept going through my mind that I kept asking the question, is this a time for me to die? and I didn't want to run from it, but and I wasn't scared or anything, but I thought that was maybe the case, and Shao kept saying, "Come on, we got to go. They're coming." And I could see them coming. I said, "Well, let me talk to them." But the damage was done. What we were facing there was big time bullying on each side. You know, we had Sharon on the one hand, and the Palestinian authorities on the other. The people that were the leaders, the religious leaders, we'd already talked to them. We got their full consent on that peaceful solution. They're in 100% agreement with us. But you can't, it's kind of like stupidity of thinking you're going to have a person read a page in a book that says don't bully and he's going to stop bullying. That's the kind of attitude they got there in Israel, and they still have it. Even, you know, they condemn Sharon, but at the same time, the ones that are still running the place, they're doing it with Nimrod, the 10th chapter of Genesis. They're doing it with that setup that was set up right there with Nimrod, the Nimrod system. The Nimrod system is a bullying system. And that's what they got all over the world at this time. It's nothing different. It's in the schools, it's only in a small way. It's taking place right now throughout the world. And if you'll pay attention to what the news you heard, the gematria you heard today, and the report that I intend to give you, here's the peaceful solution right here that's going out all over the world to these broadcasting stations all over the world, and we're getting great results. We're hearing from people throughout the world. Russia was the top five, by the way, that responded to this article right here. Israel Hawkins says teaching do not bully in itself will not stop bullying and offers a better solution. The correspondence, that is the articles that went in at the same time our letter went in, it says, do not bully my kids. Do not bully my kids. Tweet to me. this is just nonsense, of course. Fighting back may stop some children from being bullied. Teach your children karate. Why not just teach them to carry a gun? It takes less time to train in a gun. Why not teach them to carry a bigger gun? All of this is stupidity that we're getting from the religions here. My beautiful Nicola, 21, took her own life because of cruel bullying. That's what we're facing throughout the world. And you're only seeing a very small percentage of what we're facing. How many people heard about the 700 earthquakes, major earthquakes? Now, these were major earthquakes in the last 7 days. How many heard about that? You see how they're keeping it quiet? You know, this should have been big time. We started bringing it out in 1976 when I wrote the book, The Mark of the Beast. It's there. I told you then we're going to have it big time. It wouldn't even have been mentioned if it was just going to be normal. Everything that Yahshua showed for this time period, and especially the 3.5 years that we're nearing right now, everything is going to be terribly exaggerated in this time period until the burning comes, the great one-day burning comes. The one on the one on Russia shows that shortly after it was released yesterday, Russia was in the top five locations of this news report. Well, here now is, this picture should kind of show it all, but the U.S. government is updating its nuclear disaster plans, and they are truly terrifying. Well, of course, this is to bring peace. As a Catholic priest, and the Catholics are taught, if you want peace, prepare for war. If you want your children to have peace, teach them to fight. You see the stupidity in this? It's the same thing we're teaching the children. They're teaching the whole world right here. When they update their machinery to kill people, they're teaching the world. This is what they're teaching them. And the other nations are saying, listen to what that man just taught us. We're going to have to update ours. Well, this was put out August 24th. The U.S. government is updating its nuclear disaster plan, and they are truly terrifying. Amid concerns over North Korea, federal emergency managers are updating disaster plans to account for large nuclear detonations over the 60 largest U.S. cities, according to U.S. Federal Emergency Managing Agency officials. That's what they're getting ready for. They're not getting ready for peace. Why would you update a bunch of army artillery? And listen to this. We're looking at 100 kiloton to 1,000 kiloton detonations. It was up until this time. Now, this is what North Korea woke us up to see. These people have bombs that were 1,000 times more destructive than we had. Ours was 1 to 10 kiloton blast. This one, these now, they're updating, goes from 100 kilotons to 1,000 kilotons. Now, that's what the United States is doing right now because they saw they were behind with this man right here. With a little nation like that. The power is there. Satan has made sure. Prepare war for your children. I don't know if David got to that scripture or not. But I probably won't get to it either, but maybe the next time we speak. But last year, North Korea tested an apparent thermonuclear bomb with a surprising largest estimated blast size of 250 kilotons when we had 1 to 10 kilotons. And this little nation put out this bomb and tested it, a 250 kiloton, a city buster. One bomb. Much bigger than past blast and nearly the size of a current U.S. intercontinental ballistic missile warheads, the test blast kicked off a new era of nuclear anxiety. Navy reestablishes Atlantic Fleet to check Russia. The U.S. Navy, now this, I don't know if you've seen the news or if you're watching the news, but I know you can get it here. And what we're seeing right here is what we're putting together for those who don't watch it at home. But if you tune, if you watched it today, you see the arguments going on. You see the filth going on in the Catholic Church. That's the leaders of the kings of the earth. Their minds are so confused right now, as Romans, the very first chapter shows. The great Apostle Shaul wrote the book of Romans to the ones living in Rome that had been taken captive already to Rome, showing how the Hebrew people that was running Rome, how they went wrong, and showing the confusion and what actually started this confusion in their minds, yes, came from illegal lust that was never taught them. They got away from all the teachings of Yahweh's laws. They said, they even put out that the scriptures were all destroyed, so they had to, they're going to rewrite them now. No doubt all the queers, I mean all the gays are going to do this. They're really going to get their heads together and be righteous and really rewrite these wonderful righteous laws. Well, that's as stupid as saying, I'm going to teach my child not to bully. I'm going to tell him not to bully. That'll quit it. That'll put a stop to it. I'm going to tweet it on my tweet, too. That'll reinforce it. The U.S. Navy on Friday, it says, formally reactivated the Cold War era naval command it relied on for decades to confront adversaries in the waters of North America. The part in the news, if you're watching it, we're having big time problems now with Russia teaming up with China, with others too. I forgot all the ones that's in behind this, but they're going to have war exercises now to show the United States how great they are. Our sea control, it says, and our power projection to vital elements of our national security are being challenged by resurgent foreign powers, namely Russia and China. Early this year, Richardson told reporters that Russian submarines activity in the Atlantic is more than we have seen in 25 years. getting over here in our own oceans. And I have an idea that they were seen because they wanted to be seen. This one, Chinese military joining Russians for nuclear war games. Russia and China will hold the large-scale military exercise next month that will include simulated nuclear weapons attacks, according to American defense officials. We urge Russia to take steps. So this is a warning. This is not this urging. This is a warning to Russia. We're warning Russia to take steps to share information regarding its exercises and operations in Europe. And Russia is saying, you want us to show you what we're going to do? Do you ever show us what you're going to do over here in our seas and our waters? This is the bickering that's going on back and forth. Now they want to know exactly what they're going to do, and if they don't do that, then there's a threat behind this. We're going to straighten you out like a dead snake. Europe is clearly conveying its intentions and potential misunderstanding. Additionally, the joint Russian-Chinese exercises scheduled for September the 11th through the 15th will include military forces from Mongolia for the first time, and it goes into several more. a Pentagon official said said that the war games will be closely watched by U.S. intelligence agencies because they are expected to include the simulated use of nuclear weapons. The Pentagon revealed in its latest annual report on the Chinese military that China is also developing new small nuclear weapons. Same as North Korea now, trying to catch up with North Korea. Both China and Russia are working to improve their ability to employ ground, naval, and air forces. That's to come in behind to take captive of what is left. Joint operations over both short and long distance. So what they're doing, they're showing their power. And, of course, in order to beat them to the punch, you've got to start tanking first strike. And this is what's going to take place. Now, I want to bring this in. I don't have time to take you back to Syria today. That's what I wanted to do. But remember what I brought out last week, and I'll reinforce that the next time when I get to that point, is that that it all rests, all of these prophecies, it started back here. But its resting place, its quitting place, is Damascus. I brought this out last week. All of these prophecies of disaster, destruction. Keep this in your mind now. Please, everybody listen to this. If you don't get anything else out of this sermon, get this point. The seven-year peace treaty was signed in 93. The seven-year peace treaty. 3.5 years of it was prophesied to be used up and then shut down. It shut down exactly 3.5 years later. It was in use for 3.5 years, and as the prophecy said, it shut down. So we only have 3.5 years left of the seven. What crazy mind could possibly think that other 3.5 years is not going to come? When he gives you full details of it, and half of it has been completed already. And Yahweh tells you the in-betweens that's going to take place in between the first 3.5 years and the second 3.5 years. And the second 3.5 years is going to have to be cut short, or no life will be on earth. Period. Well, the time of Israel now, Greenblatt, peace deal. This is speaking of the 3.5 year peace deal that is yet prophesied to come. Remember, Daniel 9, he showed you the 7 year peace plan. Daniel 9 also showed you the only still in operation 3.5 years. The two witnesses would prophesied to tell about the last 3.5 years. That's shown in Revelation 11. Who is I will foretell them? Isaiah 44. Who as I will foretell them? Two brothers that will get their names kind of word-like, but he gives the names and how they would get them. That right there is a miracle. And to prophesy this thousands of years in advance, then lo and behold, here comes two brothers from the same womb. One of them is prophesied to be given to death. The other one is prophesied to establish the house. And it's here a little and there a little. And something else more exciting than this is Yahweh tells you who will foretell these prophecies. They look at our book, The Mark of the Beast, and lo and behold, in detail, they see that we are the only ones on earth that's ever brought this out. The 7 year plan, and it would be signed with a man named Rabin, be shut down after 3.5 years, and we'll start and be the greatest time of trouble ever to exist in the period of 6,000-year history of mankind. It gives you all these details. Now, this being that put together this plan started before the beginning. The earth was made for man, remember? The earth was actually made for man. Well, before man was made, the earth was defiled. It was a shame what went on the earth. And finally, a flood came and wiped out the whole thing. Yahweh proved right there that his first sons were not capable of doing what his plan was for mankind, for whom he made the earth. His sons left their first estate, his original sons, along with their mother, I guess, who took pride in watching the misery that went on earth. Yahweh said, the earth is made for man. He allowed it to be defiled. He allowed us to see or get the history of what the best of the best of heavenly beings would do. So the trouble was going on before he created mankind, who he said would put a stop to this whole thing. They will learn war no more. That's the prophecy for you. You are Yahweh's house that's taken like the oak tree. It's already started. It's reaching all the world at this time. When I was born, the only thing available at that time when I was first born was water from the well, fire from logs, horses and buggies that you drive. Now that's when I was born. But Yahweh said of that person that was born in 1934, that was clearly brought out today, you couldn't get it plainer than that gematria showed today. And Yahweh said, from that date, 1934, and hung my tag number on it, he said, from there, this person is going to be reaching with a crew called the House of Yahweh. He's going to be reaching every corner of the earth with this message. The message that will start rebuilding the people's minds and bring about a peaceful solution instead of a bullying solution that is being taught the world today. This bullying is being shown right here. I just showed it to you in these talks. Here's China and Russia. China and Russia and their nuclear war games. The United States and its nuclear war games. What do you call that except bullying? And we're coming here and sending our top officials here, and we're saying to them, go there and tell them people, tell them children, not to bully. Well, I hope they grabbed a handful of wind while they were here, because their brain is going to be as empty as their hand when they leave or after they left. The Times of Israel, a greenback. By the way, their head did have something in it. They did. They might have grabbed a handful of wind, but they grabbed some other things while they were here. The House of Yahweh saw to it that they grabbed some things that they're still talking about right now. Greenblatt, peace deal would reverberate throughout the world. Now, these are the same bullies now. These are the same bullies that started with Nimrod, that are running Israel and the entire world through Yada, who sits on the seven hills of Rome. The leader of the kings of the earth that you can get a perfect picture of in the first chapter of Romans. Read it for yourself. They made fun of our book, you know, The Real Cause of Global Warming. Well, they didn't know it, but they were making fun of the scriptures. They don't have any scriptural knowledge either. Well, anyway, Greenblatt, peace deal will reverberate throughout the world. At Arab Summit in Jordan, U.S. envoy says Trump has personal interest in achieving Israeli-Palestinian agreement. Now, this was in 2017, March 30th, 2017. It was given between 1:31 and 4 p.m. that day. A pretty long session that was put on concerning this peace deal that was being talked about a year ago, March 30th, 2017. U.S. President Donald Trump, Special Envoy for International Negotiations, Jason Greenblatt, told Arab foreign ministers at the Arab Summit in Jordan Wednesday that Trump is committed to reaching a peace deal between Israel and the Palestinians, and that such an agreement reverberate throughout the Middle East and the world. Present was Jordan, Egypt, Qatar, on the sidelines of the conference, as well as the Palestinian Authority President Ahmad Abbas. Trump's personal interests, pursuit of peace, and they're actually, according to Scripture, prophecy, which is 100% true and correct, they're going to actually declare this. Let's see, I think I'll save this part because I'm running out of time. I'll save it till speak next. But what I want you to understand here is that what they're speaking of and what they're working towards is rulership. As the Scripture shows, the Scripture gets very deep here into this, and you really have to study. You really have to hear what I say. You really have to remember what I say, or you won't even understand this. But this is a complicated system that Yahweh said would be in this time period between the nations with a peace treaty that would be unbearable. And this is what Netanyahu saw, and he shut it down. The one that he will accept and will be brought through is the last 3.5 years of this treaty. The movement of the embassy, that's already been done now. Remember, he's already moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. In that move right there, this will give the Catholic Church, remember, runs the American embassy. The Catholic Church runs the United States. They just passed laws that let sodomy rule free. They marry men to men. They forsook the Scriptures totally. Now, this all went on in the United States under religious authority. Christianity, when I was a child, I used to think that they were, you know, that they stood for righteousness. I slowly found out over the years they do not. They stand for doing away with the laws under the leadership of the Catholic Church. Christianity is called the daughters, the harlots, of the great whore in Revelation 17 that carries forth the work of the Catholic Church. If they want to pass a law in Washington, a priest will appear at the door of a senator, a congressman, or the would-be president or the president. And they'll say, we have this many thousand people that wants this bill put through. The Supreme Court does the same thing. We want to put this law through. And Daniel said he was amazed, this is in Daniel 7, he said he was amazed at the amount of laws that this fourth beast passed. Well, it's talking about Yada, of course, who sits on the seven hills of Rome and rules the kings of the earth, the religions of the earth. The Muslims and other religions, don't want to admit they're being ruled by the Catholic Church. Of course, they're slaughtering them right now pretty heavily. It's surprising the amount of people that they have slaughtered in just Syria alone in the last year, 2017. But the Muslims, who are a peaceful people, have allowed themselves to be drugged into these wars. They're not the house of Yahweh, so they won't have the protection that from Yahweh, and that's the only protection there is in this time period. There's no protection outside the house of Yahweh, as the great Kohan Benjamin Krauss Hawkins just brought out in the Gematria even. But the prophecy shows the same thing. But in this peace treaty, you can compare it to what took place with this moving of the embassy to Jerusalem. It was a political move that gives the Catholic Church the power they need. That before this took place, it was in Tel Aviv, but the decisions were being made on the Mount of Evil Decisions. We've been there. We testified to the chief priest that was in the Knesset at that time. Have pictures of him, anyone who wants to see it. The man didn't want to leave us. We talked with him for hours. When we were ready to leave, he didn't want us to leave. They wanted us out of that room because he was coming to clean it. And the chief priest says, well, let's go this way. Let's go to another room. So we went to another room. He wanted to hear more and more. Well, finally, they drove us out of the Knesset. This was after all the doors was locked and everybody was gone. And the guards came and says, you've got to leave. So he walks us to the gate while I was still talking. Through the gates, and of course they turned the lights all out when we left. But that's how this man reacted to the peaceful solution that he said, this is what we need. The peaceful solution is what we need. He said, to start building a foundation of peace, he said. Well, he understood this. Well, the complicated system that we're seeing right now is not a teaching of peace or education in peace, but of force. It's force. And with the embassy being now in Jerusalem where they make the decisions, see, this gives the Catholic Church power to make the decision right there and pass it before they had to make the decision, send it to the Knesset in Jerusalem, where it would be passed or pushed aside, tabled as they call it. But now, not so. They have their men in Jerusalem. They're sitting in full power now to make these decisions and say, this is it. And that's what we see in some of these articles here. Trump saying he's going to pass it whether they like it or not. But Trump is speaking now of this prophesied 3.5-year peace plan that was signed. We wrote about it in the 70s. It's in the book, The Mark of the Beast. The only thing we got our work from was the Holy Scriptures, which is a prophecy that tells about the 7-year peace plan that would be confirmed with Rabin. Rabin means many. The Hebrew word Rabin means many. And in fact, if you vocalize it, that's the way you would say it. Many was the prime minister's name with which they confirmed the peace treaty. Now, the rest of this, you go into the princes there and so forth, it shows the complications of this that I'll get into later, maybe during the feast. But this peace plan that will end with, if you turn over to the Daniel 9, we're seeing this slowly building right now. And remember, it rests on it all rests on Damascus. All of these prophecies that Yahshua gave, Revelations, Zechariah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all of those prophecies that are given there concerning destruction rest on. That is, it's coming to the end with Damascus. With Damascus. We don't know the day and the hour yet, but I think Yahweh is going to show us that too. But Daniel 9, we'll just start here with 27. You can read this and study it later and read it in the Mark of the Beast and study up on it because we're seeing this now. So you got to have it fresh in your mind and see it on the news. But here in 9:27, he says, and he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week at 7 years. We're not the only one that knows this is 7 years now. I think the Amplified Bible has it, and some others do too. But they know this is a day. This based on the prophecy of Yukiska, where it gives a day for a year, and a week, of course, would be 7 years. Now this one is a plan of activities. So the activities that are prophesied here would take place in a 3.5-year time period, and then it would shut down, and the other activities have to be brought back in to start this peace treaty again. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years, and in the midst of the week, that's the middle of the week, that's 3.5, he will cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease. This is the commitment that is actually written into this peace plan that makes it a complicated, really complicated, very hard to live with. In fact, a Hebrew word there shows impossible. When you study deeply into it, you'll see that the Hebrew word shows that it's an impossible plan to live with. It's nothing that will bring peace. I doubt if very many read it. And since, if you notice the propaganda, the way the Catholic Church writes their priests, the way they put things together, it can be read in many ways. The Pope, he came out just recently to condemn the rapist, but to condemn those who were the accusers of the rapist. But the way he wrote it, the way it was, they really strive to get their words just right. But the way this is written, the average person would read it thinking that he was condemning the rapist. But he wasn't. If you'll get it and study it with that in mind, you'll see what I'm talking about. I do have it scheduled for exclamation, but I don't know when I'll get to it soon, maybe. But anyway, it's the way they write these things. Well, this peace treaty was not put together by Netanyahu or Rabin or President Clinton or Arafat. They all signed it. They all confirmed it. But they didn't put it together. I doubt if any one of them read it. It was put together and agreed upon by the Catholic Church, who now has moved their embassy, the American embassy, to Jerusalem. And they will be, as they are in the United States, in Washington, making their decisions and passing it right through, getting it done. Gives them a lot of power. With this agreement that they have, when you read the small print and pin them down to what it actually says. Some have done it, and they say, this is impossible to live with. This is what Netanyahu and his team did when they took office. They went to studying this thing out. They may have started studying it before he got in office. Bulldozer Sharon was taken with it, and he was going the other way. He was getting rid of the settlements. The settlements, each one of these settlements, you watch my word, mark my word, each one of these settlements is built for a certain reason, to expand Jerusalem out to these, and certain things are going to be put in there. The roads are already made out, the great highways is going to be built, but you're going to see the management stations. These settlements are going to be management stations of Jerusalem alone. Jerusalem is going to start spreading rapidly right now. Well, in this agreement here now, he says the oblation, it causes the oblation to cease. That's the agreement that took place in this giving up period. These people, as Netanyahu said, he said this would be detrimental to our country. So he shut it down. Well, he was the only one that saw it. Bulldozer Sharon did not. He didn't say anything against it. He was for it. He was just ready to go to work plowing them down. He's the one that went up on the Temple Mound, took our temple brochure, threw it on the man's desk that had already agreed with us. We had just visited the man. He agreed 100%. Bulldozer Sharon took it, and this was told to him that the man was in agreement. He went up there and threw it down on his desk and said, this is the way it's going to be. And of course, the hostility rose in this man, and he said, no, it's not going to be. And had 6 years of war after that. Anyway, back to Daniel's prophecy here. But it caused it to cease. It caused it to cease in the midst of the week. You see that? In the midst of the week, it caused it to cease. How much clearer can you get? Why wouldn't you believe the rest of this now? In the midst of the week, and then in the midst of the week, the very day, it ceased. Bulldozer Sharon went to the hospital. Netanyahu went into office. He said, this is detrimental to Israel, and he shut it down. That's exactly what the scripture says, but you won't get it from this right here. You won't even get it from the Hebrew without putting the other scriptures with it and the correct Hebrew words with it, as our great priest Yehuda Hawkins can do. and has none. From the time that I don't remember when we first started working on the book of Yahweh, but it's been it seems like 1,000 years, but I would say 40 years anyway. We got the printing out, but we kept going on and correcting and so forth. But this prophecy right here, there's a footnote on it that you might start reading and familiarize yourself with that. And then when I speak again, we'll get into this other. But notice prevalence of the Lord of Heaven. Well, that prevalence of the Lord of Heaven, the abomination of desolation is the way the King James Version reads. But the Interpreter's Bible Dictionary, which gives quite a bit on the name Yahweh, now that shows it's the Lord of the heavenly habitation, which is Satan herself. Well, he says, so they make that cease, and then the Catholic Church, the Lord of the heavenly habitation, gives them their orders, Yochanan 8:44, whatever she says you will do, you're going to do it. The Lord of the heavenly habitation then takes in here to arrange things the way she wants it arranged in Israel. And starting with the moving of this embassy to Jerusalem is part of her work that she brings forth right here, the Lord of heaven, or the Lord of the heavenly habitation brings forth right here. And notice until when. You see that until? The word until. Until destruction that is determined or prophesied. It's prophesied. The destruction is prophesied to take place. Will be poured upon the desolator. Let's get that scripture, 2 Thessalonians. We'll close with that one. 2 Thessalonians. We want to go to 2 and verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. I'd like for everyone to read this. 931 is the page number. And remember, in the midst of the week here, in Daniel, if you see that. And then 2 Thessalonians, found on page 931. 931 is chapter 2. Chapter 2, and I want you to tie these two together right here. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity is already working. I made that very clear in Mark of the Beast that the Catholic Church is running this show right here. It's Yada, given authority, since they did not like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. He gave them over to the reprobate mind, and that's what we see running this right now from the seven hills of Rome. Okay, got it now? 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity, that's doing away with the law, is already working for the one. For the one restraining him will continue to restrain until, well, it's, if you take now Daniel's prophecy in chapter 12, he will restrain this until the holy people are made pure. That was also brought out in the Gematria this morning with the past works that we have done. Up until now, that very thing has been taking place, making you righteous, humble, non-fearing, lusting for righteousness instead of evil. So, the one restraining him will continue to restrain him until he is made to appear in, notice, the mist. Now, if you compare that, hold your place right there, and you compare it with what Daniel said there, in the midst of the week. In the midst of the week. Well, from that time of the writing of the book, The Mark of the Beast, there, and then this prophecy coming to pass, the seven-year prophecy coming to pass, this put all of our enemies to shame, and they had to admit that this prophecy that we brought out was true. In the midst, then back to Thessalonians here, he's made to appear. That is, we bring in the midst of this time period, we bring to light of the world to bring his appearance, who's actually doing this, and everything that is behind it. It's pretty neat the way Yahweh wrote it. It's pretty neat. He puts it together. It doesn't get the complicated part like Daniel does. Now, verse 8 said, and then that lawless one will be revealed. So he's made to appear. That is, he's revealed in the midst of the week. Hold your place right there. Let me get one more scripture. One more scripture. Hold your place in Daniel. And go and turn with your left hand, if you can, to Isaiah 11 and verse 4. Because we're coming right back to Daniel and 2 Thessalonians. But at Isaiah 11 and verse 4, remember, he's making him appear. Well, you're the one that's making him appear right now. That is your work as a team in working in the house of Yahweh. We, together as a body of Yahshua, is making him appear. And look at verse 4 of Isaiah 11, verse 4. But with righteousness will he judge the poor. I've got to go back, don't I? And reprove with equity for the meek, humble of the earth. That's you. He will smite the earth with the rod of his mouth and with the breath of his lips. Compare Revelations 11:5. With the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked. Go back to verse 1. That's speaking of the branch. That's you, brethren, the house of Yahweh, that Yahweh said the branch would establish for these last days. 2. Daniel again. Daniel 9. In the midst of the week, what is determined? That's the prophecies that we show determined about the desolator. Now that, of course, is Revelations. But the midst of the week, 2 Thessalonians, shows our work right there in Daniel and in Isaiah 4, 44, other places, Zechariah 6. But back to now 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. In the midst of the week, until he is made to appear. That means reveal. Look at verse 8. And then that lawless one will be revealed. That's exactly what we're doing right now. We're revealing that lawless one. Lawless. They don't use the law to bring peace. They don't follow the law to bring peace. They use the Nimrod system. In Genesis 10, verse 8, they use the Nimrod system, which will never bring peace. You can't bring peace with war. You bring more war. And right now, you see, they're preparing for the wars, as the prophecy said they would. They're building even bigger bombs. You remember when they're supposed to get rid of all the nuclear? You know, you remember when that talk was? I've been hearing it for years. They got rid of some old stuff that was junkers that they run over with a truck. Bent it up a little. Some old planes got much faster ones and missiles to carry them faster. But now they're building even bigger because Satan says these are not big enough. You know, we need missiles. We need bombs that will destroy this earth. Yeshua said if she can destroy the heavens and the earth, then the plan of Yahweh will stop. Well, that's her plan. And, of course, the make war with your for her children, Isaiah 14, but we'll get into all of that later. Put enmity between the children, that's the house of Yahweh and Satan's children. Satan put that enmity between them, between Cain and between Abel. All of this is included in this prophecy now that rests on Damascus becoming a ruinous heap. All of it's going to come down together. Now, for the skeptics, you better look at Damascus News because it's already begun. Big time. It's portions of it looks like a ruinous heap already, but the nuclear that's going to come, it's got to include Israel. This whole thing has to include Israel, the peace plan, the guidance of Yada, his guidance, because he's the lawmaker that Daniel spoke of in Daniel 7. He's the lawmaker that sits on the seven hills. He's the one passing the laws now, and he's got his embassy now. She does. She controls Yada. Satan controls Yada. Don't forget that. In Yochanan 8:44. So she's got her embassy now. Yada is her vehicles that she is using to prepare this war for the children. There was enmity between them, and now you see that enmity building to where it's got to come to an end. And the final burning is what is shown that she is preparing for at this time. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next leader. I love you!